It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Shady, isn't it?
Slim.
Yeah.
Hour number two of the drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Rick Butler is hanging out with us. It is time for Marcus Young. Rick has been eating into Marcus's mic time. I sense Marcus being very he's upset about that. I'm fomenting dissent now between
that's all right.
Marcus and Rick.
I would like Rick to tell Marcus, Rick, is he the first guy we've been mean to, the third guy?
You keep saying we.
He can be just as mean as me, can he not?
I mean, tell the truth. Russell can be very passive mean, you know, yeah. Whereas Bears is very much more blunt. But I know, I think anybody who's walked through these doors
tell you I don't
have
like
some
you.
Scars from wounds.
Not passive about anything, Rick. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I guess I would say that, too, if I was some guy working at Rocky Top Insider or something. Passive about anything, man. Ridiculous. Marcus, go on with your little segment.
I never said I was the first to be you to be mean to. I just think I'm top of your list. At number one, Tennessee football adds to their staff as they bring in Mackenzie Milton as
not that
former quarterback for Josh Heupel down at UCF.
He was so good that year.
Whoa, the kid that like
yes.
yeah, broke supernova his knee.
Yeah.
Yes. Kid who led UCF to the undefeated season in 2017. I mean, the kid that's a two-time American Athletic Conference Player of the Year. I mean, this guy's good.
And then he transferred to Florida State.
Right.
And he didn't play much, but I remember he did get in one game and had big moment
that
for
that first game of the year.
Yeah.
They were playing, right. Was it Miami?
I think so.
They were playing somebody.
Was it Florida?
No.
No, because they played them at the end of the year.
It was the opening game.
Yeah.
It was one of those opening night games.
Was it Notre Dame?
He was part, I think it may have been Notre Dame, staged some furious comeback. He played a part in it. But
you know what? It was. It was Notre Dame. I do remember that.
But he was always kind of getting, that's cool. He knows that system as anybody.
I wonder if, you know, Golish leaves, Halsley moves up.
Yep.
That Militello guy, does he move into Halsley? Well, obviously he's not in Halsley's spot, but, you know, are you just refreshing the pipeline of quarterback guys, gurus who know your system and just kind of getting somebody else in the pipeline there to develop.
I'll tell you this. I think that Josh Heupel loves longevity on his coaching staff in his room, and I think that's why you've seen two of the bigger coaching vacancies that they've had to fill with the wide receivers coach after the first year and then the offensive coordinator last year with Alex Golesh. Both of those guys have been replaced by somebody in-house already, whether it was Alec Ablin with the tight ends or whether it was Kelsey Pope with the wide receivers. I think what this shows you right here is that, Josh Heupel wants to bring in great young minds and then continue to develop them with the system that he already knows. So I think that Mackenzie Milton could have a bright future at Tennessee. Again, that's a big could, but just based on the previous history of Josh Heupel and his coaching staff movement.
At number two, Tennessee announced that they have sold out of their football season tickets with 70,500 purchased. With kickoff of one of the most anticipated seasons of program history, we're less than 93 days away from football season. We actually eclipsed the initial plan that Danny White had, which of 61,000, beating that by an extra 9,500.
Interest in Tennessee football is back, man. It's good to see, and hopefully folks use those tickets and get in there and fill it up this fall and make a lot of noise.
Were you guys a little surprised at how high profile Big Joe and Ramel Keaton?
You know, they did that.
How did they get invited to New York to do all that?
I believe it's NIL related.
Yeah.
I believe it has to do with the volunteer club and yeah, but that's something that Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker did last year, and they got a lot of big publicity about that, too. So I think that in this new NIL world that we live in, you'll see that continue to happen more and more.
I think Joe is benefiting from the fact that Tennessee was so good last year, and there's a lot of buzz. He had the big performance.
Yeah, and everybody can talk about his arm. I think that's an easy thing to talk about.
The Barstool video of him throwing.
Wild.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that it goes viral and
easily.
Yeah, that cannon of a throw he threw at that guy. Did you see that one?
Yeah, he didn't even really put a lot on it. I mean, we watched it. We know
a hole in his stomach.
But we need to circle back to that later.
At number three, the Washington Commanders trademark has been denied.
What?
For the name Washington Commanders. Obviously, they recently got a new ownership group, and they've changed their name, but they have been denied by the trademark for, quote, the Washington Commanders moniker. Because of the confusion with the Commanders Classic, a yearly college football game between Air Force and Army. Also, because of a local D.C. area man who filed multiple trademarks trying to guess what the name would be.
That's awesome.
Including the Washington Space Commanders and the Washington Wolf Commanders.
Fair play to him. New ownership needs to come in and just start over. Get rid of everything Daniel Snyder related. The only thing they need to keep are the colors, the burgundy and gold. Other than that, new nickname, new marks, new logos, new graphics, new everything.
Just completely rebrand.
De-Snyderification. De-Snyderfy.
But stay with the colors. I think that's good.
Have some kind of ritual holy cleansing or something of the facilities and offices. I agree, Russ.
And finally, at number four, NBA playoffs continue this evening as we have the Celtics and Heat going at 8:30. Excuse me. The game will be at TD Garden, Boston. 8-point favorite.
Marcus Smart said, "Don't count the Celtics out."
Marcus Young said that too. He's pretty smart.
Known dullard. My initial thought was that the Celtics are going to win big and they're going to cover. Now, our friend Matt is on a roll.
He's on a heater.
Like, you know, Haji hasn't been calling. Matt senses an opening as the Drive's official gambling correspondent. He wedges his way in there, has a couple of big hits. His Marlins bet paid off last night. Didn't see that one coming. I asked him last night, and he said, not official yet, but he feels – the Heat are going to win. Straight up. Mm. So that's what Matt is saying.
Do you have rooting interest for the Celtics because of Grant Williams? Or is that a ship that's kind of sailed by this point?
I'm pulling for the Celtics anyway. I don't know how much of that has to do with Grant, but I've just never really liked the Heat.
Sure.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is something I've been going over in my mind. What happens when Drew Gilbert is playing for the Houston Astros? And we get to the end of the year, and
I mean, we've had former Tennessee players playing for teams I don't particularly care for a long time. I don't find it hard to root for players on teams that I don't like. You know, Gerard Mayo with the Patriots is a good example of that.
Jason Witten for the Cowboys.
Example. Yeah. We had to completely suspend. With Witten.
Not me. Peyton, not Peyton, America's fans.
Like you said, Peyton being with the Colts, having to deal with that for two times in a year was rough.
I bet it was a nightmare.
I actually pulled for the Colts the other games. I know a lot of Titans fans don't believe me or look down on that. It's what it was, man.
Never pulled against Peyton.
Pulled for him hard in those Super Bowls. Loved seeing him beat the Bears and still stings, man, that loss to the Saints.
Golly.
Stings. Should have won that game.
Tracy Porter return interception.
Well, onside kick to open the second half. Just
that Sean one, Payton, and man. I'll forever say that he got robbed of another one when the NFL decided to cave and put a damn Super Bowl in New York in the Northeast
the
in
Seahawks
January
were
or
much
February.
Better team.
When they missed that opening snap and it went 5 yards over Peyton's head and 15 yards
very,
back.
Very Peyton versus Florida vibes at point. It was like,
You knew it was just overmatched.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody's ever made that point. The Peyton versus Florida vibes Peyton to that game.
It wasn't just that game, man. Peyton had a thing. And I love Peyton, man. He's my favorite pro athlete of all time. My favorite athlete of all time. Like, just loved watching him play football. But he had, like, a certain key times, man, he could throw down a stinker. For such a great player. And it not
one of the greatest.
Not just that game, the three Florida games, and you know, multiple games against the Patriots. There was one against the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he's got a winning record against the Patriots in the playoffs.
He does. He does. But earlier in his career, he had a couple of bad ones.
I mean, even his last year, the year they won the Super Bowl, he had some really rough games.
Well, dude, and if it wasn't for that defense. He couldn't feel his hand.
No, but the year before that, he was spectacular. His first year in Denver, he was amazing. But his
body was breaking.
Yeah, and it went quick.
Yeah.
He lost his
touch. Way quicker than a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers looks like.
Well, yeah, they didn't have nerve damage from, you know. I mean, he came up in the – was it the AFC? What were they in back in that when he first came to the league? Late 90s, early 2000s. What division was that?
AFC South.
AFC South even then?
Think so.
Because it was like the Titans, the Ravens.
Yeah, they had a lot of knockdown dragouts with the Ravens, the Steelers, obviously the Patriots.
I mean, that was no joke. Greg, what's his name, had a – I mean, the Titans had a bounty on him. I mean, that's pretty much known. What was that guy's that defensive coordinator we had?
Greg Williams?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was there any indication that that was going on at Tennessee? Is there any indication that that wasn't going on everywhere in the National Football League before the concussion thing became a big talking point?
Sure, probably. But he had a very good system.
It was a very good system.
I mean,
almost
they drove
as good as the dinner system in Goodfellas.
No.
I mean, the Titans used to drive him to the ground like a tent peg, head first.
865-546-8200. Rick Butler, RockyTopInsider.com. Hanging out with us here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios this afternoon and kicking around a couple of things. Julian Phillips had a list come out.
30 teams I counted. That was incredible.
I just, you know, we saw the numbers he put up at the draft combine, and I don't know that anybody questioned the athleticism. I just wonder what the appetite for him is from NBA teams. I would hate to see him go and not get drafted.
Yeah.
But I would also hate for him to come play for Kentucky or Memphis.
Yeah.
Kentucky is desperate for players, by the way. They have like 7 guys on their roster next year.
Yeah. I mean, it's burning down.
Now, they're all 5 stars, but they don't have any depth.
No, at all.
Yeah, it was Julian Phillips. There was a list. Jeff Borzello reported it was like 30 schools, and it was a who's who, man. Great programs. Obviously, he's a terrific athlete and a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame that we don't have room for him at the end anymore, but we had to make our choices and fill out our roster, and Tennessee's full right now, so I don't think he could come back even if he wanted to.
Yeah, and I do also think that the route to an SEC school could be a little bit tough, and I don't remember these numbers exactly, and I'll grab them here in a minute, but I believe that Julian Phillips entered the portal after the deadline to go to a conference school with immediate eligibility. So while that 30-team list that he's, quote, heard from it is pretty big and it's got a lot of powerhouse teams from the SEC, still think that might be a little bit of muddy waters as we sit here right now, just looking to the future with not an exact a clear sight of what's going to happen.
What's his latest projection as far as the draft?
So I saw just a couple days ago a late second rounder. Maybe not late in sense of could fall out, could be in danger of that, but maybe in your
if it's late second round,
40s,
you're in danger of falling out.
Mid-50s or so?
Yeah, at that point, what would make the best financial sense would be just he's going to make a lot more money on an NIL deal playing in college.
Especially if he goes to a place that really would want him,
which
like an Arizona or somebody.
I guarantee you, how many schools?
30, I counted today.
To be honest with you, I know you said that even if he wanted to come back, I don't think we would have filled out our roster had we known we were going to bring him back. I think they made a mutual decision to just part ways.
I agree with that. I don't think he was ever coming back, and they were comfortable taking the guys they did here. I just will point – but I know we got to get to the phones, Trey Wallace. But before we do that, can I carry water for Rick Barnes for just a little, since people like to accuse me of doing that?
Can I put on the
jet pack here and like just
gas the
carry
up? Go ahead.
Assume the position.
I remember not very long ago a time when A lot of people question Rick Barnes's recruiting efforts. Some of those people are still out there. I mean, that's the fringe of the fringe. The haters just want to point mostly to the postseason record, and fair enough. It's not great. But there's some crazies out there who want to pretend that he can't recruit. And that was like the first 2 years of Barnes, we ain't signed any top 100 players. Remember that?
Yeah.
Fast forward 6 years later, and
he's processing one top 100.
Yeah, well, there's a guy, there's a five-star top 20 overall player who actually played here. He signed him, and it's like, we're okay. We're good.
I mean, Edwards is the top 100.
Nah. Yeah, signed two of them. They processed them.
Nah, we're fine.
We're good, man. All stocked up here.
You better damn well deliver.
About that. What's so funny, Marcus? It's the truth.
I know. It's just I feel like it's going to give extra ammunition to those who say that you carry water for him by saying you finally recruited big-time players and you're sending them out packing. I think it's just going to add more ammunition for them.
Hey, that's a good point.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's a horrible point.
I want to be positive with him for a change. I'm trying to be nice to him. Okay?
But it's not his point. It's not his point. He's making the point on behalf of the haters, of which he is not one.
Yeah, I'm not one of them. But I'm
telling you what idiots would say.
But anyhow, Rick, was SMU one of the schools with Julian Phillips?
Ooh.
Yeah, let me go back and check.
I would love to see him go there and pair with BJ. That would be cool.
I don't know. I was talking about it with somebody who's from down there, grew up down there. They're not.
No, on Jeff Borzello's list, SMU is not one of them.
But he played here at UT, but he was telling me there's still so much money around the SMU program that don't be surprised if they start.
Who are some of the teams that are on that list?
Notables. Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Auburn, Baylor, Florida State,
Kansas State,
Kentucky, Memphis, Michigan, Mississippi State, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Penn State, South Carolina, Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Villanova, Virginia, Wake Forest.
Serious question: would you want your son playing at Alabama for Nate Oates? Like,
no, I mean, it's
from a
not
pure safety standpoint,
no. Wouldn't let him there, and honest to God, would have serious comment. If I had a kid that was good enough to get recruited for real by Georgia, you would have to talk to me about why half your football team likes to go 180 miles an hour on when they're driving. I mean, they're like Fast and the Furious down there.
It's one thing I think you give Tennessee kudos for in the last 2 years, just under this new administration from the top bottom. It seems like these kids are very much kept in check. And I know it doesn't happen everywhere, but you see when these big stores spiral out of control, and it's a bad look.
We've had a few things, you know.
Minor bumps in the road compared to what we're talking about.
Tank McCullough, you know, whatever happened there.
Minor bump in the road. I mean, compared to vehicular homicide charges and a murder.
Yeah.
A gun murder. I mean.
Guns. There's been no guns.
Got popped somebody in the mouth for breaking into his house. I mean, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Lucky he didn't shoot him. Being honest. Let's go to the phones. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, W?
What's up, Philly?
How you married on?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
It's good that Fabulous is on there.
Classing up the joint, Phil.
Yeah, it's been a good day. I get here Fabulous in the afternoon and then I jack the snack in the morning. Pretty cool.
How about that? The old switcheroo.
Yeah. Just rotate shows. It's pretty cool. Like it. But, guys, Barry was talking about putting a stadium in South Knoxville. Well, I mean, I live in South Knoxville. Where are you going to put a damn stadium?
You see what you did? You did a rectally derived thing. I don't even know why you brought that up. And now,
it was just a hypothetical.
You have to be careful, Bear. People listen to this. For some reason, they take things you say seriously.
Metropolitan Planning Commission, Phil. I guess it caught your radar. It was just a hypothetical, Phil. I was using it as an example. Imagine.
Somebody they could put it down there on the urban wilderness. That'd be a good place for it.
You love that place, don't you, Phil?
Careful.
Careful. Yeah. The direct quote was, where will all the bleeping cars go?
I've still got that.
Oh, guys, y'all talked about Danny White winning two straight all sports trophy 2 years in a row.
Back to back, baby.
The reason they call him Banner Dan.
Pretty good.
And you know he's getting a huge raise for that, which he probably deserves.
Phil, what's the closest we've ever been, like, because you go way back like I do, when everything has been on this, everybody's been on the same page and excelling in every sport.
Well, you have to go back when Dickie was athletic director, and before that when Woodruff was athletic director, that they were – Tennessee excelled to win in most sports in those areas. And looks like now they're – of course, Tennessee's got the money to compete with anybody. You hire good coaches and get the NIL going, you can win in any sport, Tennessee.
And not even just Dan, but you know Donnie Plowman, Randy Boyd. Like I think that the administration is just in check over
there. There's a lot of convergence of having the right people in place at the right time with all this NIL transfer portal stuff coming into play. It's good to have people that aren't afraid of all that stuff and are willing to jump in and embrace it instead of taking a wait and see approach.
I mean, Danny White does. He's going to build that football complex down there, and then Russell's got it. Wants us $100 million for a baseball facility.
No, Russell just wants they do. You got to admit, Phil, they need to.
Well, $60 million is the number that has been thrown in front of the state.
Yeah,
and it's not all at once. I think they've got roughly $10 million already pledged for that, but I mean that's what Florida spent on their brand new stadium, $60 million.
And yeah, I want us to have a.
You want to compete with Florida, don't you?
Well, yeah, Florida built a facility, but nobody even goes to the games down there.
They built it a little too big, and they kind of fell off a little bit.
And Kentucky's got a nice facility, and nobody goes there either.
That's why I'm more like. I think it's you, Russ, that said you don't want to go too big.
You'd rather pack it out every single day.
You don't want to get too big to where, you know, if you have a down cycle where you have a couple of bad years, it doesn't look terrible.
It's a 4,500 seat stadium. I think you want to get up to 6,500, 7,000 seats, something like that, with room to swell for a huge series. You bring in, you know, 1,000 standing room only folks in there.
Bring in some temporary bleachers.
I'd be fine never seeing those again. I mean, it's going to be interesting because we saw the drawings that came out last year, the drawings that came out this week were very different from that. We hadn't seen that.
Yeah, that big old high rise on the right field over there.
The student dormitory that it looks like is going to be built right there.
How cool would it be to be living in one of those dorms and just able to look out the window?
Be pretty good.
Is that dorm going to take away Fraternity Row down through there? Is that where it's going to be put?
I mean,
it kind of looks like it.
It looks like Fraternity Row maybe a good chunk of it's going to get eaten up.
And that's the tough thing about campus right now is that you're building all this stuff, but there's just so little space. I mean, it feels like campus is 97% concrete and only 3% grass. So I know that's not a huge deal, especially for most people, but there's not a lot of space. And I know that's been a conversation for years, it's fascinating to see what they're doing and what they're taking away now to be able to build new stuff.
I mean, the other part of it is, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, hadn't like several of the fraternities are like shuttered right now down there, aren't they? I thought I'd read that in the paper.
I don't know.
For different.
You had the butt chugging incident a couple of years ago.
Shut down.
I don't want to.
I was there. That was like.
Looks like they built a lot of sororities over there near Alcoa Highway. That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, they got them all in the gated
community. Typically,
you
don't see them getting the same kinds of trouble that you see young men get into.
Typically not. No, not a lot of butt chugging going on over the sorority houses.
You don't know that.
W's trying to get me all upset. Bring Julian Phillips up. Then few minutes ago.
Well, I mean, what's the deal with that, Phil?
Well, it's my understanding that Rick brought it up. The deadline is passed for somebody to transfer from one SEC school to another. The only way it can be approved is for Tennessee to get a grant or a lease to go to an SEC school.
Yeah.
because it's past the deadline.
Yeah, I don't think there's any sort of immediate guarantee for eligibility. There's got to be some paperwork that gets filled out,
you think,
or whatever
you think
it might be.
Deacon Barnes would do a solid for his good, close, personal friend, John Calipari, and release Julian Phillips to go play for the Big Blue?
I'd say he'd let him go anywhere except Auburn.
Memphis.
He doesn't
need Memphis
it.
Memphis on SEC.
He doesn't need it.
He can go to Memphis.
Ooh.
But Penny Hardaway would be good. And that'd be a, he could even go to an ACC school since he's from South Carolina. I mean, there's a lot there's of...
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, Russ and I have been talking. How cool would it be if he went to SMU?
Well, it would be cool. I think the poor guy was hurt all year, and he never was able to fulfill his potential.
If I were Rob Lanier at SMU, my sell to him would be like this. It's like, look, we play in the American Athletic Conference, the same conference as Memphis. You're going to be playing good competition, not quite as good as the SEC, which is going to allow you to shine.
Yeah.
Because it's like taking, you know, the donut off the bat in the on-deck circle. Coming down here, you're playing with your friend BJ, who you presumably already know. You guys have a little bit of chemistry there. And the two of you are going to instantly turn us around and make us conference championship contenders.
I agree.
And
they brought in like two or three other players out of the portal. He brought in other than BJ.
Don't handle GM.
And I think for Julian,
I know that, but they're solid college players.
Yeah,
by the way, we get you paid because it's SMU and we got a lot of rich donors.
Well, they've got
you know how much NIL SMU football and basketball players get automatically.
Oh, when you walk in the door, yeah, it's $40,000.
40 grand.
When you play for them, that's
they
just
got
your
money down there. Yeah. I mean, that's Rick Butler. I know he's down from Dallas. I mean, that's where Pony Express. Back in the cheating days.
Where is SMU? Is that located downtown?
Dallas. Yeah, it's Dallas. Yeah, and Phil's right.
Cool campus.
It is. It's I don't want to say it feels kind of modernized, traditional, and I think that's a good place to be for a school like SMU.
Do you not want to go there?
I could have applied a lot of times. I don't know if they would have let me in any of them.
I always wondered that. I wonder why you didn't go to any of the Texas schools.
Well, guys, y'all keep Butler coming in pretty regular. I kind of like it. It's
kind of cool.
I kind of like it too.
To hear, you know what I mean?
Well,
see.
Thank you, Phil. We are way overdue for a quick break. Let's stay with us. We're going to go right back to the phones when we continue. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app, a variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Rick Butler hanging out in studio from Rocky Top Insider with us this afternoon, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, Jamie is next. Good afternoon, Jamie.
What's up, Russ?
What's going on?
What's up, Rick?
What's up, Jamie? Welcome in.
Guys, I've been doing a lot of listening to some Boston Celtics sport talk over the last week. Just want to get a feel on how they're taking it up there. But I got to, Russ, as much as it pains me to do, I'm going to have to give you some a compliment today, man.
Ooh. Okay.
I'll
accept a compliment.
Some of these guys are just boring. And I'll tell you something else. I got to give the callers around here some credit, too. I'd say about 8 out of every 10 you go to, you hear the show in the background on the radio. That's awful.
What are you listening up to? Are you listening to Sports Hub?
98.5, yeah, the Hub. I listen to it right after the games go final, listen to their post game and coaches' interviews and some of the
players. Oh, is it amateur hour with the callers?
It is, but it's amateur hosting too, and I like these guys. And it's just, you know, it's just we've got it good down here, guys.
You got it good here on Fan Run, that's for sure.
We've been telling you this for a while now.
Hey, you'll follow me. Here's where they lost me. They're talking about how funny David Spade and Chris Farley were together in the movie Tommy Boy when he was
you know, with the coming out of the car saying they're bees, your firearms, you're useless against them. Yeah, love that in Tommy Boy. Didn't you? It wasn't in Tommy Boy.
Was that Black Sheep?
Yeah.
Black Sheep. It's been a while since I make the same mistake, but I wouldn't make the reference, but it's been a while since I've seen either of those. I'm more of a Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore kind of guy myself.
Oh, yeah. Who can't quote word for word from those two? But I'll tell you.
Tommy Boy's a classic now.
Oh, yeah. But, that's what I'm saying is you don't have to have seen Black Sheep to know what's not in it. Or you don't have to have seen Black Sheep to know that that phrase is not in Tommy Boy for some of us who've seen it enough.
We go more for the obscure Sopranos and Godfather references here on this show, and the occasional Big Lebowski.
I feel like we're part of a special group here, man. Andy, it's like you know, those of us cultured who've seen those shows. Of course, it took me till COVID to watch Breaking Bad.
Wow.
But, put me down as one of those who've been through that thing about five times now.
The first time you watch it, like everybody I've ever talked to, like the first like three or four episodes,
takes a while to get going.
No, it does take a while to get going. Like it reaches a point with Crazy Eight, like that whole deal, whatever happened there. Like I stopped. Like I had to put it down. Like that, that freaked me out.
That was real early, right? Like he had hair at that point. That must have been like season one.
I think that was episode two that he offed Crazy Eight.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, it's been out for a long time.
about a decade now. But that's when I fell in love with Walter White and wanted to be him.
Yeah.
Why?
You wanted to be him?
Yeah.
He was. I loathed that guy.
Never lost his love for his family, did he, Jamie?
No, he didn't. It's
never
all
loved
about
him.
He was at the top of his line of work, and that is respectable.
He was the devil.
You're welcome. Hey,
Jamie, I hate to get sidetracked here, although I feel like your entire call has been sidetracked thus far, which is fine. Brian on Twitter says, Jamie is wrong. The bee scene was in Tommy Boy. Marcus, can you find the bee
wrong
scene, the Chris Farley bee scene?
No, because it's
in Black Sheep.
I'm almost I'm going Jamie on this one.
Yeah.
I've seen Black Sheep.
I
don't know. I've seen them both. In a lot of ways, they're both interchangeable.
I will say, I don't know this reference, but I typed in bee scene Black Sheep, and the first four results were from Tommy Boy. So,
hey, I'll tell you what. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, and I am not a big man. So,
yeah, we'll see. I put Chris Farley bee scene in, and the first result is Tommy Boy bees.
That's what I found, too.
I'm on the You're not alone. I'm going down in flames with you.
Hey, it might be Mandela effect, or I might be wrong, man. Yeah. Maybe I'm losing my touch. But guys, I'll get out of the way. Man, it sure is good to be back with the whole, you know, football tickets are sold out. You know, you read off yesterday, Russ, you know, the games coming up and the spreads. Man, that just felt so good. We're a freaking favorite in the swamp. Tell me when that happened.
Wow. Were we ever a favorite down there and when Butch had things going? Maybe 2017? I don't know, Jamie, but
I don't know. So,
8.5 points. Yeah. That's a pretty big spread.
I love it, man. It feels so good to be, you know, to be competent and not an embarrassment. But guys, one of the things that I led with that I was going to say and then get out of the way is about, one of the Celtics callers called in and was able to put it in words better than I am. I sometimes my mouth just can't stay caught up with my brain, and I listen to myself later on the podcast. I'm like, well, no wonder everybody thinks you're an idiot. You can't complete a thought. But he put it into words what I've always thought through the Butch and the Dooleys and the Pruitts and the Joe Mazzullas is he wanted them to lose the other night, Marcus, and finish the sweep. And as much as an anti-fan as that sounds, he said, I want the tough decision to be easily made. I don't want that tough decision to be tougher than it has to. I want it to be as easily made for the powers that be as it can be. by, you know, it's easier to blow out a coach when you're swept by an 8 seed. It's a little tougher to do when you lose 3-2.
I hope the Celtics come back so badly and win. I know they win the championship just so you will never live this one down, Jamie.
Here's the thing.
Hey, if I hang banner 18, I'll take it.
Build that Missoula statue outside the garden.
Hey, man, I'll wear a Missoula. I'll buy Missoula gear.
You get a Missoula tattoo.
Here's my main argument to that, which is that in any sporting world when it comes to the pros, if you're a general manager, an executive, an owner, whatever, they're going to make the tough decisions they have to because it's a business and they want to make money. And if they don't think a coach is good enough, they'll bite that bullet early. There are some GMs out there, as a Nashville Predators fan, who are too patient and will give people too much time. That's fair. Mm-hmm. This is 1 year. I know that this is a really good team and he should be able to win with this team easily, but mm-hmm. I told you at the beginning of the playoffs, I didn't want the number one seed because I knew we'd be facing Miami in that round. I wanted to avoid them until the very last moment. And here we are, and Celtics in 7.
I love it. All right, well, I'll get out of the way, guys. So I guess you like them tonight. Of course, we have a hard time winning at Boston. I hope we do something about that tonight too. But you know,
that's insane because I watched this thing on YouTube the other night from think it's like 84-87. They only lost. I think it was either 3 or 4 post. They were like something on God, like 41-4 at home.
At home,
yeah. That was
And here we are under 500 in the last 2 years in the playoffs. Insane. That's insane, man. And we're doing it against. And we're the top seed. We were the top seed last year, and we were the top seed this year. I mean, as far as the teams that we've played, and we still managed to go under 500. That's why I'm a little bit, you know. Maybe here's the thing, guys. On the way out. If we play up to our potential and Miami plays up to their potential, we win the game. And that's what I'm hoping is maybe we can see we watch TNT every night, watch Barkley and Shaq. You know, Barkley will never be able to argue with Shaq about championship rings, and Shaq still still plays that card on him all the time. And I'm hoping the Celtics players get together and be like, guys, we don't want to be Charles Barkley. We want to be Shaq. We want to have rings for the rest of our lives. And that's where we're at in this game. So let's see what we can do. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate the phone call. I think it was interesting. Missoula basically came out after Game 4 of that series, or after Game 3, and said, we got some locker room problems.
Yeah.
And then in Game 4, there was a point where they took Tatum out of the game, and he kind of gave Missoula the get out of here kind of hand wave.
Waved him off.
Yeah, of course, you know, you had the Grant. I'm not even, trying to stir anything up, but when Grant did his thing with Jimmy Butler in Boston.
Missoula left him in there and let him get tormented.
Well, you had that, and then you do wonder, somebody said something in the locker room after that. That had to have been discussed at some point. It couldn't have been a comfortable conversation for Grant or anybody else. And yet they come back and win Game 4 and run away at the end of that one. So I'll be very interested to see. Speaking of rumors of internal dissension and things like that, there's a lot of that stuff going on around the baseball program, has been for pretty much all season. There's
our baseball program?
Yes, Bear, our baseball program. The one we talk about, we've been talking about for about 3 hours a day for the past 2 months, that program.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. We'll talk about that a little more when we continue. Stay with us. The Drive rages on right here on Fan Run Radio. Good grief, man.
You've been
negligent in your duties. Rick Butler, never seen The Departed. Yeah. Never seen The Departed.
It's not like I'm a guy who just doesn't watch movies. I love movies.
Surprise.
I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will. I'll do it this week.
You'll leave now. Just go home.
All right.
Go straight home. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 and watch The Departed.
No, I still have an hour to hijack, but it will be on my list. It'll be up there.
No, he needs to bump it up to the top.
What could possibly be ahead?
Well,
of this
it's not
Martin
like there's
Scorsese masterpiece.
It's not like there's baseball to watch here tonight, so I guess my night's open.
You're gonna watch it. I kind of want to watch it with him. I can't believe you hadn't seen
Drive
that.
Family Movie Night.
We could.
Yeah. Where is it streaming? Is it on Netflix or something? HBO.
Yeah, that's Max now.
Yeah, what's up with that? Is
yeah, they
they keep
them.
Rebranding it.
So
yeah,
dumb.
Yeah, Bear's right. You can get it on Max.
Yeah.
There or Netflix, apparently, too.
Okay. Hashtag right. No excuses, Butler.
Oh, it's incredible. I'm a little bit jealous of him.
My favorite
that's a good place
part
to be.
Of that movie is just the general interaction between Baldwin and Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Pretty much all of his.
Nicholson and DiCaprio are good, but I feel like that those two and their dynamic made that movie for me.
My favorite scenes are when it's, what is it, Captain, is it Quigan?
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Sheen. Oh,
and Mark
man.
Wahlberg and yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio. The three.
It's good stuff.
I always feel bad for Captain Quigan because he's got these two maniacs.
Very good.
All right, we'll get back to you on it.
So this baseball thing, Hunsucker sent me the screenshot. This is several people have asked about this. I heard the rumor a month and a half ago about Blake Burke maybe being unhappy. We didn't talk about it on the air, but apparently this has now made the interwebs, and so people are talking about it. So we'll talk about it. And the reason I didn't talk about it on the air is, first of all, it was a rumor. I hadn't heard anything that was good. I could go with as like a substantiated source. That if we talked about every single internet rumor, and this wasn't even internet rumor, the stuff we hear, like, it would be all we ever talked about, and most of it doesn't come true, right? We hear about this football, oh, this guy is unhappy. We hear about Jalin Hyatt wanting to transfer all 2020. He was gone. There's no way he was ever coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And he stuck around and won a Biletnikoff Award. That's just one example. That stuff happens every single year. And now the transfer portal and NIL stuff is just amplified, all these rumors. So we're going to talk about every single thing that we hear off the air. When I heard about Blake Burke, yes, it was surprising. It was disappointing. This was even back, you know, before he had gone into such a prolonged slump. And I thought, well, you know, this is one of those things you hear about during the season, after the season. And I still believe this might be the case. Tony will talk to him. We'll calm him down, get him some NIL money. You go home to California for a month or so, you know, play in the Cape Cod League, do your thing, and come back, and it'll be fine. This stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, just finish your career out here.
But now that, I mean, unless he snaps out of it in a big way in the regional, if this is how he's going to go out, the way he's been playing the past couple of weeks, like I kind of do wonder about that. And the other thing that is out there today is that perhaps Chase Barnes could be looking around too. Now, again, this is all speculation, rumor, innuendo. I haven't heard directly from anybody connected with UT or these players that this is going on. But this is what people are talking about on the interwebs. And you know,
that's what's going on today on the internet, huh?
Yeah. Well, I just hope that, first of all, that they're able to get it rolling. I mean, what better way to quell some of this stuff, if there is any truth to it, than have a really strong – win a regional, win a super regional, go to Omaha. I guarantee you that happens. Like, these guys will be happy. It'll be fine. But it has just been a ton of distraction off the field since day one for this team, going back to the whole Maui Ahuna thing.
Yeah.
And the delay in getting him eligible. And I just wonder if, you know, knowing Vitello, he does not want the season to be over. He wants to win. You only get one 2023 college baseball season. He wants to take it as far as he possibly can. I'm sure of that. But, like, people were speculating on Tuesday. It's like, they tanked that one. They didn't want to win the SEC tournament. He didn't want to stay down there for a week and blow out all his arms and all that stuff. that's not the way that guy operates, man. He wants to win, and they wanted to win that game, and I guarantee you they were all pissed at having lost on Tuesday. They wanted to be able to host a regional. That's a big one, too. So, like, every time
that cost us money.
It might get to they might have a season. Like, I think Mississippi State probably tanked the tournament last year. They might get to a season where they get there and it's like, you know what, we've won this tournament, we're good, we know we're hosting. We're not going to throw a game down there, but we might start a pitcher that we know might not give us the best chance to win. And when we get out there, we're going to play balls to the wall and trying to win the ball game. But if we lose it, like, we're going to go home and get ready for
the
regional.
There's a silver lining.
Yeah, that we might have a year like that eventually. This was not that year.
Yeah.
No, we had a lot to play for down there.
Yeah, but as far as you can see it when you're watching this team play on TV. There's a lot of bad body language, a lot of bad vibes. You can feel it coming off the team, and I know everybody compares it to last year, and yeah, it's a big difference from last year. There's never going to be a team like last year's team, but this has been an objectively, like, you could just tell, especially with Burke, that that's just terrible body language.
You know, I remember going back just a couple months ago, and I don't know if you remember this, Russell, but we were doing an interview on the show, and we were talking about how Tony Vitello was a disruptor in the baseball world.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like this Tennessee baseball team has been disrupted this season, just based on based on what's been going on the 2 years before that. And I do think that is a tough mental obstacle to get over. Now, is that an excuse? I don't think so, but you are at the point now where there's no more regular season games. There's no more games to lead you into the postseason. You are here. It is now time for the regionals. That kind of stuff has got to go in the rearview mirror. That kind of stuff has got to go away, and you got to find that swagger again that they've shown a decent amount here in this last month or so. But ultimately, I think that this has been a disruptive season for this baseball team. We'll see how much they can kind of bring it all back together for this final push into the postseason.
I don't know any of these players personally. I hope Burke and Burns both come back because they're obviously tremendously talented, you know, first-round potential players. So I hope they come back. But if next week goes poorly, if they don't get out of their regional, and if there's any truth to these rumors, that there's internal dissension, there's something going on behind the scenes, whatever, I hope that Tony nips it in the bud. I hope that he uses the off season as a chance to, you know, if there's people causing problems, he needs to get rid of them. Because it's his program, and he's, you know, Tony's the guy that this fan base is in love with, and we want to see him here for a long time, super successful. And you know, if there's anything to be learned from this season, hopefully those lessons are learned quickly.
Yeah.
Because this league is a shark tank, man, and ain't nobody feeling sorry for you.
Man, it is. There's a lot of high-quality competition, and, you know, especially for a team like Tennessee that has beat a lot of them the last couple of years. They wanted to win these series this year, and that's kind of just the position that Tennessee is going to continue to be in.
All right. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Marcus joined by Rick Butler of RockyTopInsider.com this afternoon. Tucker Harlan, I almost called him Hayden again. The names sound familiar.
Hayden Harlan.
They kind of look familiar.
He's like,
I'm working on it.
I mean, Hayden's a former offensive, he's a big dude.
I mean, Tucker, did you play football? What position? What? Say it. O-line?
Yeah.
He's an O-lineman, man. Yeah, he's a big old boy. He get down in the trenches.
Just moving bodies.
He play with his hand in the dirt. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.